Okay. And word by word. Tarhi. In that very moment.
In that very moment.
Eva. Certainly. Sadasaha. From the water. Tasmat.
There from.
Nishkramantam.
Coming out.
Saha Anugam.
Accompanied by great souls.
Upagihamanam.
Glorified by the followers.
Amarap Pravaram.
The chief of the demigods.
Vibhuda Anugahai.
Followed by his associates.
Taptahema.
Molten gold.
Nikaya Abam.
Bodily features.
Yashiti Kantam.
Lu throat.
Trilochanam.
With three eyes.
Prasada.
Merciful.
Sumukam.
Beautiful face.
Viksha.
Seen.
Pranemahu.
Offered obeisances.
Jata.
Aroused.
Kautukaha.
Being amazed by the situation. Translation. The Prachetas were fortunate to see Lord Shiva, the chief of the demigods, emerging from the water with his associates. His bodily luster was just like molten gold. His throat was bluish, and he had three eyes which looked very mercifully upon his devotees. He was accompanied by many musicians who were glorifying him. As soon as the Prachetas saw Lord Shiva, they immediately offered their obeisances in great amazement and fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord. So you can repeat, the Prachetas were fortunate to see Lord Shiva.
The Prachetas were fortunate to see Lord Shiva.
The chief of the demigods.
The chief of the demigods.
Emerging from the water.
With his associates.
His bodily luster was just like molten gold.
His bodily luster was just like molten gold.
His throat was bluish.
His throat was bluish.
And he had three eyes.
And he had three eyes.
Which looked very mercifully.
Upon his devotees.
He was accompanied by many musicians.
Who were glorifying him.
As soon as the Prachetas saw Lord Shiva, they immediately offer
their obeisances
in great amazement
and fell down at the lotus feet of the
Lord. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. The word vibhūdhānugahai indicates that Lord Shiva is always accompanied by the denizens of the higher planets known as Gandharvas and Kinnaras. They are very expert in musical science, and Lord Shiva is worshipped by them constantly. In pictures, Lord Shiva is generally painted white, but here we find that the color of his skin is not exactly white, but like molten gold, or a glowing yellowish color. Because Lord Shiva is always very, very merciful, his name is Ashutosh. Amongst all the demigods, Lord Shiva can be pacified even by the lowest class of men, who need only offer him obeisances and leaves of the Baal tree. Thus his name is Ashutosh, which means that he is pleased very quickly. Generally, those who are very fond of material prosperity approach Lord Shiva with such benediction. The Lord, being very merciful, quickly awards all the blessings the devotee asks of him. The demons take advantage of this leniency and sometimes take benedictions from Lord Shiva, which can be very dangerous to others. For instance, Vrikasura took a benediction from Lord Shiva by which he could kill everyone he touched on the head. Although Lord Shiva sometimes very liberally gives such benedictions to his devotees, the difficulty is that the demons, being very cunning, sometimes want to experiment improperly with such benedictions. For instance, after receiving his benediction, Prakasura tried to touch the head of Lord Shiva. Devotees of Lord Vishnu, however, have no desire for such benedictions. And Lord Vishnu does not give his devotees benedictions which would cause disturbance to the whole world. So Tarayeva Sarasastasman Nishkramantam Sahanugam Upagiyamanam Amara Prabaram Vibhudanugahai. So Omaganat Simadandasha Gananjanat Shlakaya Jatur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So just like Lord Brahma's benedictions to the demons, Lord Shiva's benedictions to the demons generally predict how the demon is going to meet his demise or his end. And, of course, the Vrikasura story is very common. That's a story Prabhupada refers to in the purport, but I'll tell a few other stories about Lord Shiva. One story is the story of Jayadrath, who is a devotee of Lord Shiva. Jayadrath, he was married to Dushala. And Dushala was one of the, actually the sister of all the Kurus. Because Gandhari, she wanted a daughter. And so when this lump of flesh that she gave birth to was divided up, and each of these little pots was put, each of the little pieces was put in a pot of ghee, not oil, ghee, there was one left over, and that was the daughter. And that's why she had a daughter. The daughter's name was Dushala. Dushala was married to Jayadrath. And the story goes that Jayadrath was very lusty after Draupadi. So one day he waited while the Pandavas were out in the forest in exile, and he waited till Draupadi was just there with the priest, and the Pandavas were out, you know, doing their thing. The priest was there, and he basically put Draupadi on the chariot, and she was fighting, and the priest was following the chariot and screaming. And finally, the Pandavas came back, and they chased down Jayadrath, captured him, brought him back. They were getting ready to kill him, but Yudhisthira said, "You cannot kill him because he's basically our brother-in-law." So instead, they gave him a nice haircut. There were like five little sikas on his head. You know, they say it on his head, and there were five little sikas sticking out. Not where a sika normally sits, but just all over the head. And Jayadrath got so upset with this. He was so angry that he started to worship Lord Shiva. And he asked for the benediction that he would be able to defeat the Pandavas. And Lord Shiva said, "All right, you can defeat the Pandavas one day, every four of them you can defeat on one day." And then he said, "Well, I want it known that whoever, not known, but I want the benediction that whoever kills me, or actually causes my head to fall on the ground, he will burn up in ashes immediately." So Lord Shiva said, "All right, you can have both those benedictions, no problem." So came time for the battle for Kurukshetra. Jayadrath was on the enemy side. And basically he was able to hold off the Pandavas. Actually, was holding up Arjuna. No, was holding up the Pandavas. Yeah, because they had made this chakra formation like that. And Arjuna was somewhere else. So then what happened, because there's the chakra formation. Let me tell a little bit more about that. The chakra formation was a formation that nobody knew how to enter into. It was except for Abhimanyu, because Abhimanyu had heard from his father, Arjuna, about how to enter in it, but he didn't know how to get out of it. So he told the other Pandavas, he was there with the four Pandavas, Arjuna was somewhere else, he told the other Pandavas that he would be, let's see, he would be able to enter if they followed close behind him and were able to defeat the Kurus. So they said, "We're going to follow close behind you." But what happened is they weren't able to follow close behind him because the formation closed and it kept the other Pandavas out, and Abhimanyu was all alone. And Abhimanyu got killed by the Kurus. And so what happens is that the Kurus killed Abhimanyu. Arjuna was very upset, and he vowed, he said, because it's all the fault of Jayadratha, I'm going to kill Jayadratha the next day before the sun sets. And if I can't kill him before the sun sets the next day, then I'm going to enter into the fire. So the next day, he was very determined to kill Jayadratha. Jayadratha was protected by the whole Kuru army. So Arjuna had to pierce through the whole Kuru army, and we know that Krishna made it appear that it was already the dusk, or the sun had set, because Krishna utilized his mystic potency, being the master of all mystics. And the Kuru army, including Jayadratha, let down their guard, and Krishna said to Arjuna, fire this arrow, but just don't kill kill Jayadratha, just don't kill him, but you should cut his head off and cause his head to fly to where his father is sitting in meditation, and the head will land on his father's lap. His father will actually throw the head off the lap, and then his father will die. And Arjuna said, okay. So he used two arrows, and one caused the head, it was like a Vayu arrow, caused the head to fly to where Jayadratha's father was. And Jayadratha's father was in meditation. He looked down and he saw this head on his lap. And without thinking, of course, if you find a head on your lap, you normally want to throw it off. I mean, I know whenever I see anything disgusting, like a bug or anything like that, I don't think twice. I just go, yeah, like that. So if you see something disgusting like a head, obviously, you go, ew. So he threw it off, and Jayadratha's father was cremated instantaneously. So you see that benediction given by Lord Shiva had adverse effects for the demon. Even though you get the demon got what he wanted from Lord Shiva, still it creates problems. And of course, it's not always so obvious like that. You know, sometimes people worship Lord Shiva for riches, and the riches cause problems. What are the problems that riches cause? They cause fighting in the family, actually. It's quite interesting. It's a known fact that when people win the lottery in America, that it destroys their life. I mean, you could just look it up on the internet, you know, Google it, lottery winners. And you'll see that somehow or other, when they get a lot of money, the family members don't get along with each other, they're fighting for the money, and everything falls apart, and they become unhappy, and they have psychological problems, and a few years later, they're as poor as a church mouse. So, basically, even if you do get, like, wealth from Lord Shiva, and you don't happen to be a demon, but just like an ordinary materialist, it can cause your problems, cause so many problems. And even Gandhari was a devotee of Lord Shiva, and it was Lord Shiva who gave her the benediction to have 100 sons. Did you know that? She worshipped Lord Shiva, and that caused her problems. So we're not saying don't worship Lord Shiva, but you should worship Lord Shiva for some spiritual thing. Just like, there's an interesting story about this, how Lord Shiva is ultimately interested in the welfare of someone, rather than in someone's material aggrandizement. So he does make all these tricks, all these benedictions he gives are ultimately meant to detach one or bring one to Krishna consciousness, although it takes a little longer than worshiping Krishna. There's a story of one Brahmin. He was very poor, extremely poor. He didn't have enough money for his food or anything. So he was thinking, I need money. So he went to Lord Shiva, and he said to Lord Shiva, you know, I really need wealth. He wasn't really specific. He said, I need wealth. I need wealth, the greatest wealth. I'm suffering. And Lord Shiva said, all right. I can send you to someone who will give you a touchstone. This is the famous story. His name is Sanatan Goswami. He's chanting on the banks of the Yamuna, chanting Hare Krishna, and he has this touchstone. So he has the greatest wealth. So this poor Brahmin, he was so enthusiastic, he went to Vrindavan. Lord Shiva sent him to Vrindavan. And he went to the Brahmin, and he said, Lord Shiva said, you have a touchstone. And Sanatana Goswami said, yes, I do have a touchstone. And the Brahmin said, where are you keeping this touchstone? And Sanatana Goswami said, I'm keeping it in this garbage here. It's in the garbage. So the Brahmin, very enthusiastically, went rummaging through the garbage. That's the original, what's it called, dumpster diving. You know, someone goes into the dumpster. So he went into the dumpster and he found his touchstone. And he became so happy that he started turning everything into gold. This is not the story of Midas, don't worry. He didn't turn his wife into gold or anything like that. But he started turning everything to gold. Wow, gold this, gold that, gold chair, gold clothes, gold glasses, gold watch. You know, he turned everything basically into gold. But then he was actually thinking that Sanatana Goswami kept this touchstone in the garbage. So that means he must have something more valuable, greater wealth than this. So then what he did is he went back to Sanatana Goswami. He said, you must have something much greater than this touchstone. You kept the touchstone in the garbage. Please tell me about it. And interestingly enough, Sanatana Goswami said, you have to throw this touchstone away. In order to get this, the greater wealth. So this poor Brahmin, he was having like some sort of problem now. You know, it was like some very stressful because, you know, the touchstone was there in his hand. He wanted to throw it away, but he couldn't throw it away. It was just like, you know, a real dilemma. Really stressed out, this poor Brahmin. Because he said, how can I get rid of it? This is what I've been wanting my whole life. But there's something better. You know, so back and forth he was going like that, back and forth, you know. But there's something better. No, but I wanted it my whole life. But there's something better. Oh. And finally he just closed his eyes, you know, just put his hand over his eyes and threw the touchstone in the Jamuna. And Jamuna's always gold anyway. So, and then he went back to Sanatana Goswami and he said, I don't know why I did this. But tell me, you know, what is a better thing than this touchstone? And Sanatana Goswami said, did you throw it away? And he said, yes, I threw it away. It's in the Jamuna. We'll never find it again. And so Sanatana Goswami initiated him then. They started chanting Hare Krishna. And because of Lord Shiva's guidance, this particular Brahmin became a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So generally, we find the people who approach Lord Shiva for material motives, self-centered motives. So the question is, not how do we approach Lord Shiva, but how do we approach Krishna in such a way that it's not self-centered? Because people do approach Krishna for self-centered motives too. Of course, that's better than approaching Lord Shiva. It says, Akama sarva kama moksha kama daradi tibrena bhakti yogena ijeta purusampram. Whether one is free of material desires, full of material desires, or desirous of liberation, one should forcefully worship Krishna. So, yeah, I know that. But how do we actually become Krishna-centered instead of us-centered when we're worshiping Krishna? This is a very interesting question. Because most of us are worshiping Krishna in an us-centered way. You know, that we want freedom from distress. We want, or even some ecstasy. You know, I'm in Krishna consciousness because I want some happiness. I'm not saying that's wrong, but just life, you know. Want some ecstasy, want some realization, want some experience. Just like when I first joined the movement, we would chant. And, you know, because we all came from a drug culture, we'd say, chant, have you gotten off yet? You know, like, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. What are you like? Have you, are you experiencing ecstasy yet? Hare Krishna. So, naturally we have this tendency to approach whoever, including Krishna, for our own personal motives. So how do we get out of that? First of all, then we have to become personalists. That's the way to get at it. Personalist means we have to become interested in Krishna's life instead of our own life. What does that mean to be interested in Krishna's life? That means Krishna does things. He has leelas. Leela basically means playful. We do not have leelas, unless we're a pure devotee. Like Prabhupada commented, there was one, I guess, Mayavadi or something. He was on the stage and then either had a stomach ache or had to smoke a cigarette, and they said that's his leela. Or, you know, or like one incarnation of God that recently died, you know, that was his leela also. So we do not have leelas. Leela means playful, doing things just to have fun. There's no, there's nothing else. You know, have fun. We don't need any, don't need anyone else to have fun. We're completely independent. None of us are like that. So Krishna's aptakama, he's swarat, he's independent. Whatever he does is just for having fun. That's it. Having fun, and even his loving exchanges are just fun for him. It's fun. His whole life is fun. Wouldn't that be nice? So, so in other words, we have to understand and think of Krishna's leela. And ultimately, when one gets advanced in devotional service, that's done by what's called the Ashtakalaya Leela Smarana, which means thinking about what Krishna's doing at a different time or different times of the day. Just like when you call someone up on the phone, right? You ask them, what are you doing? You know, of course, when we were young, it was just, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know if you remember that, you know, in the old days, we just, not in Krishna consciousness, you know, but just calling the friends, what are you doing? Or like my mother now, she calls me on the phone. She says, what are you doing? Because she's interested in my life. And I say, I'm talking to you on the phone. It really upsets her when I say that. Try that sometimes. When someone calls you and asks you what you're doing. But because... she said, I didn't want that answer. I said, what do you think I'm doing? I'm talking to you on the phone. So, because she has some love for me, she's interested in what I'm doing. I mean, she's not calling up, you know, Joe Blow or, you know, just any other, of course, devotees aren't Joe Blow, but calling up any other person and asking how they're doing. She's not calling up Jai Shri and asking how she's doing. But when she has some connection, she actually calls up and asks how Mother Tulsi's doing. And I just tell her, I keep her working hard. That keeps her out of trouble. And that just gets her upset. Because I just upset my mother. I tell her that... What do I tell her? I tell her that a woman's place is always to work hard and keep her mouth shut. But that's a different thing. That's just to make my mother angry. But because if she has some connection. The point is she has some connection with people. Then you're interested in them. So you should be interested in what Krishna is doing. And we find that great devotees, they're always thinking about what Krishna is doing at a specific time of the day. You know, because that's what, when you have a particular person, you're interested in what they're doing at a specific time of the day. Just like after the morning program, I do my puja for a Giriraj. You know, then I take prasadam. You know, so I'm doing things at different times of the day. It's not just like I'm doing everything at all the times of the day. You know, we have specific things that we do, isn't it? Like we're sitting for class now. What am I doing now? So anyone who's on Ustream, they can see what we're doing. We're giving class. So the great devotees, and eventually we should come to that point too. In the Bhajan Rahasya, it talks about this. Of course, the Bhajan Rahasya is a very interesting book. It talks about the eight different times of the day for Krishna and the different parts of the Maha Mantra. There's eight parts of the Maha Mantra. There's Hare Krishna is one part. Hare Krishna is another part. And they relate it. I know there's two Hare Krishnas. And then Ram Ram is another part. And Hare Hare is another part. Incidentally, there it says that the Ram means the enjoyer of Radharani, which is interesting. Of course, Rama also is the name of Balaram and Nityananda and Lord Ramchandra. But the Bhajan Rahasya says that Rama means Radha Ramana Hari, you know, the enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. This is quite interesting. So anyway, the Bhajan Rahasya talks about these different times of the day, just like in the early morning, starting like 3:36 to 6 o'clock, it's the first time of the day. You know, what is Krishna doing now? You know, what is Krishna doing? Well, he's waking up, he's supposed to go home until he gets discovered, unless he gets, you know, we don't want him to get discovered by Mother Yashoda that he's missing from his home. And Radharani's missing from his home. So these are the things that Krishna's doing at specific times of the day. So you may say, this is a little too advanced for me. But, you know, I was listening to class that Satchinanda Maharaj gave, but he gave the example also of even devotees of Lord Ram who engage in the remembrance of what Lord Ram is doing at certain times. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's an interesting story. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in South India. And then there was a Brahmin who was a devotee of Lord Ram who invited him for lunch. So he said, please come for lunch. And so he went for lunch and he waited and he said, where's prasad? And there wasn't any prasad. Can you imagine not serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prasad? And then the Brahmin said, Sita's been kidnapped by Ravan. How can we eat? You know, so he was actually remembering this particular pastime, you know, this particular time of the day. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya, this is the actual way it's told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Brahmin ultimately did prepare prasadam for Lord Chaitanya that day. So, you know, after he felt remorseful at not serving Lord Chaitanya, but he was so much absorbed in this leela that he was feeling intense anxiety and moroseness and depression because Sita had been kidnapped by Ravan. Later on, Lord Chaitanya, when he came back, he brought back part of the Kurma Purana, right? And the Kurma Purana, he had copied a page from the Kurma Purana where it stated that Sita had not actually been kidnapped by Ravan, that actually it was Maya Sita who was kidnapped. And when Sita went through the fire that was around her house in the Dandakaranya forest, the fire god actually took Sita for safety and he created or manifested a Maya Sita. So the Brahmana was very happy to hear that and very much relieved. So this is how the devotees remember Krishna. Just like we remember anybody that we love, right? You know, what are they doing now? I on my iPhone I have this, what is it called, world time. You know what world time is? Well, it tells you what the time is at different parts of the world. So I'm thinking, let's say Govardhan, let's say I have, there's two devotees there who stay in my house. What are they doing now? Can I call them now? What time of the night it is? Just like I called them the other night. They were just celebrating their, anniversary? It's like 15th or 17th anniversary. 14th, sorry. I don't remember these things. You know, men don't remember these things. So they were celebrating their anniversary. So we called them, you know, what time is it? What are you doing? You're in a taxi going here, there, you know. So that's the point. We should be interested. That's personalism. To be interested in Krishna as a person. He's doing something. He's relating with someone. So when we think like that, I'm not saying artificially we jump up to the platform Ashta Kali Alila, but at least we should be thinking, even in the deity worship, you know, what are the deities doing at different times of the day, right? Like Krishna's resting, and we wake him up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:15, he gets his naboga, 4:30, we greet him, he's waking up. And so there's different, even traditionally, there's different ragas at different times of the day. Raga means like a musical arrangement. For different times of the day, for Krishna's pleasure. So you're treating him like a person. So the more we become, the main thing is, the more we become personal with Krishna, think of him as a person doing activities, relating in certain ways, the more we will become selfless. You cannot become selfless just by preaching yourself or someone out of it. You know, you're selfish. okay, what am I going to do about it? You're just thinking of yourself. It doesn't really do anything. You can't unthink of yourself, right? So when you start to think of in love, like a mother, exactly like the mother, and of course the mother's love for the child, as Prabhupada said, is the closest thing of love of God. And the reason for that is the child is part and parcel of the mother, right? An expansion, basically. It's like I was speaking to one lady the other night, and her child was out at a dance performance or something like that. And I explained that, and she said, yes, that's right. I feel like part of me is not here. I'm missing part of me. Can you imagine that? Because I'm not a mother. I can't imagine it. But those of you who are mothers can imagine it. It's just like part of you is just like you part and parcel. So Krishna feels the same way about us too, you know, we're part of him. Like that, isn't it? So Krishna's, in other words, of course, we started talking about how we should think about Krishna, what Krishna's doing at different times of the day. Well, Krishna's thinking about what we're doing at different times of the day. Right? He's in our heart. And he's thinking about what we're doing, and the whole time he's thinking, what is this jackass doing, you know? What is this fool doing, you know? And he's lamenting, you know, just like hitting his head or something like that, and thinking, oh my God. No, he's not thinking, oh my God, because he is God. But he's thinking, you know, I wish he would come back to me. I wish he would just understand what his true nature is. And he's so happy when the devotee comes back, like that Gopal Kumar comes back. And so in other words, Krishna is already thinking about us 24/7. So we have to start to think about Krishna 24/7. Then we become personal. That's what it means to be a personalist. Everyone understand that? So any questions or comments? We've got about 2 minutes left for class. And this is what Bhaktivinoda teaches about in the Vajan Mahasya. It's really interesting. And of course, many of the books of the Goswamis, they deal with what Krishna is doing at different times of the day. You know, there's different day, 8 different times of the day. And that's, I'm not saying we should artificially engage in that sort of meditation now, but we should be aware. You know, what does Krishna do? Just like, and that's the deity service puts us in that particular mood. You know, we have the Bhoga Arti, and the Bhoga Arti song, you know, Vajavaka Tavasula Shigura Hori, right? It's based upon that Ashtakaliya Leela. So, any questions or comments? Arguments? No? Problems? If you do that, then you become selfless easily, right? It's very easy. Because Krishna's activities are so attractive. I mean, compared to what you're doing at 4 o'clock in the morning, what are you doing? You're in the bathroom overcoming ignorance and taking a shower, you know, or something like that. 3:30 in the morning, something like that. Isn't it? I mean, it's so boring. If you think about your own activities at 4 o'clock, right? You're just trying to wash sleep out of your eyes. Looking in the mirror. The mirror, mirror on the wall. Oh, my God. Oh my God, what's going to happen to me? Old age, you know, the lines are coming. So, right? Get that Botox. I just read about a lady who she gave her child Botox injections to make her cheeks nice and plump. So, she got arrested. So isn't it much more interesting? Think about what Krishna's doing. Than what you're doing, or what anybody in this world is doing. Okay, so that's how you become a personalist. That's a secret, easy way to do it. No? Isn't it easy? Right. Okay, do it. Okay, no other questions? No questions? No? Too bad. Time's up.